attacks in New Zealand at two mosques leave 49 people dead and dozens more injured. The police commissioner there says most of the victims were gunned down at one mosque in Christchurch as Friday prayers were commencing. Some of the attack was streamed on one of the suspects' Facebook accounts. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo speaking of the attack at the State Department moments ago.
The United States condemns this hateful assault. We pledge our unwavering solidarity with the government and people of New Zealand in this hour of darkness.
At least four suspects in custody. A resolution passed by the House and Senate that tries to undo the president's declaration of an emergency at the southern border expected to be vetoed before the day is over. And this is USA Radio News.
Do you wish you could get better sleep and maybe lose a few pounds? Maybe more than a few pounds? Well, there's this product called Calitrin that helps with both sleep and weight loss. Just listen to what people are saying about it.
I've been taking Calitrin for right about 3 months, and I've lost 24 pounds and 19 overall inches. But my sleep has improved, I have so much more energy, and I have the desire to succeed more than ever. Anyone who needs weight loss, more energy, and better sleep, this product really does deliver.
Hi, I'm Roger. Over the 3 months that I took the product, my sleeping habits are increasingly much better. I got a better night's sleep, and I just can't say enough about the product and how it makes you feel. Also, additionally, lost a little bit of weight on the program as well.
Hi, this is Arabs, and I take Calitrin for weight loss, and I've lost about 20 pounds, and I feel great.
Calitrin is scientifically proven to help with sleep and weight loss safely and effectively. Check it out at toploss.com. That's toploss.com.
A week after announcing that he has stage 4 pancreatic cancer, longtime host of TV's Jeopardy, Alex Trebek is now thanking fans for all the support they've been showing.
I am thankful for the kind words, the prayers, and the advice you have offered, and I'm extremely touched by the warmth you have expressed in your comments to me. I'm a lucky guy.
That from the latest video message posted by the 78-year-old Trebek. All U.S. diplomats are now out of Venezuela. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo confirming their departure in a tweet saying the U.S. remains firm in its support for the Venezuelan people and opposition leader Juan Guaido. He says the diplomats look forward to returning to a free and democratic Venezuela in the future. A prequel to The Sopranos will be coming to theaters next year. And this is USA Radio News.
America is built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi doubling down on her recent comments expressing opposition to impeaching President Trump. Talking with reporters at the Capitol yesterday, Pelosi said a long, drawn-out impeachment process is not worth the time and energy it would consume in the House. Some liberals have criticized her position, the California Democrats saying the House has many more important issues to deal with, though. The Connecticut Supreme Court ruling that a gun maker can be sued over how it marketed the type of rifle used in the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre as justices issued a 4-3 decision that overturned a lower court ruling that the lawsuit was prohibited by a federal law that shields gun makers from liability when their products are used in crimes. That lawsuit was filed by a Sandy Hook survivor and relatives of 9 people killed in that massacre in 2012. Facebook is down 2 key executives amid its privacy and encryption push. Chief Product Officer Chris Cox and WhatsApp head Chris Daniels both leaving Facebook. The two are longtime Facebook veterans, described as trusted lieutenants of Mark Zuckerberg, the founder. Their departure is coming a week after the company announced sweeping changes so as to refocus the social network and improve its security and privacy. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, know, between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb.
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Testing 1, 2, 3. I hear myself. Can you hear yourself? You better put your earmuffs on there and see if you're on. Just talk.
Hello.
Okay, I got the right one.
You got the right
Welcome
one.
Welcome, everyone, to our show. It's Home Sweet Home with Steve and Pat, 11 o'clock on Friday. And if you hear the music in the background, you are certain that you are getting close to St. Paddy's Day. And because it is Friday and it's that close to St. Paddy's Day, and we're not going to be here on Sunday to broadcast, we're going to do it today.
You know what? I have a funny feeling that your ancestral backgrounds are emerging today in grand style. Is that possible?
I'm not wearing any green, but yes.
Hey, you know, I'm
pretty proud.
I am also. you know, hey, folks, we're going to get on with the show here. Let me give you some weather update. Not a big deal, but it's certainly impressive that we have such high temperatures.
It's a beautiful day here in Flemington.
Yeah, that's right. We've got a 50% chance of rain, but we're a high of 63 today. I think we're already above that. I think this forecast is a little outdated, but let's take it. It's beautiful. This evening, again, it's staying about 50-50 chance of continued cloudiness and rain, and then we have a low of 41. Tomorrow, Saturday, beautiful day, sunny. 44 degrees is going to be our forecasted high. Sunday, once again, high of 39. Again, a sunny weekend. It's really kind of nice to see this. As I look through the next 5 days, and Monday through Thursday, we're looking at about highs in the low 50s, which will be later in the week, typically in the mid to high 40s, and then lows in the down near freezing still. We're going to still have a couple of frosty nights. So as far as weather is concerned, looks pretty clear. No cyclones of, what do they call them? I was reading there's boom cyclones with these weather patterns in the Midwest that are just absolutely terrorizing the Midwest. And that's basically the crazy winds and the weather patterns that are hitting that Midwest causing floods. So if you have family out there, check in on them. Make sure that they're okay. But I know we don't have the crazy weather here yet, just yet. Let's hope we don't get it.
Great.
All right.
So we're talking today about our Irish ancestors, maybe. And we're gonna basically pepper that with a couple of my favorite songs. And some little comedy, too.
You know, one of the benefits of you running the board is it's your favorite song. You didn't check with me about my favorite songs, but that's okay.
In between commercials, I will ask your advice if you do have.
I'd be willing to bet your favorite songs are probably mine.
I'm sure you'll probably recognize a few.
I think we're going to do that.
So stay with us, folks. We're going to – it's not going to be really a construction show, really.
Yes, it is. We're going to talk all about materials and methods and traditioning material, building. I do a lot of research on this.
You're going to talk about it.
Oh, okay. You're going to drink beer. Got it.
We're both going to have a beer, too. I brought the Guinness. Come on. We got to do that.
All right. We'll toast today.
Hey, if you're watching us live on Facebook Live,
that's right.
You'll actually see us drinking Guinness.
Is that legal? Hey, we won't ask.
Legal?
I'm old enough.
How old are you, sir?
I'm old enough. Are you old enough?
I know I have a baby face, but trust me, I could show you my license.
All right. Folks, we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
By the way, this is Burning Bridget Cleary, if anyone's interested in knowing what I'm playing right now. All right, stay tuned for the commercials. Talk to you in a few.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Back, folks, to our Irish show.
We are. We're officially Irish today. Well, we're officially Irish anyway. It's in our,
you know, DNA. We're not going to talk too much on this song because it's
pointless. Now you're going to tell me to be quiet because you need to hear this song.
This is the Dropkick Murphys. Enjoy, folks. Dropkick Murphys.
Dropkick Murphys.
That's a. Have you ever heard of them?
Yep, I have, but I haven't heard of them in a long time, and I haven't probably spooled up my Irish music probably in a good year or two. Well, since last year. What's that tell you?
These guys are serious.
I'm an annual Irish guy. What can I tell you?
So that's my first song. My first song selection of the day.
I like it. It was a good way to get our energy going.
And I have some traditional stuff here we're going to talk about too. So. Is there something you want to kind of like fill the mood with now for a few moments before?
I'm going through my, I'm torn. You got me in the mood of being a celebratory Irish, just to have fun. And I'm sitting here looking at facts about material, building materials. I got to stop doing this. I got a good one for you though.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, did you hear the joke about, did you hear Murphy died? And of course the question is was he ill that long?
Okay.
And of course he died in the best of health.
You want some Murphy jokes?
I mean, I've got some good jokes here.
I have a bunch of Murphy jokes.
Do you?
Yeah, and the particular person that's reciting these jokes is got the Irish accent and everything. It's Seamus Kennedy. You ever hear of him?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
He is so funny. You wanna Well, you want to listen to? You want to listen in?
Fun with Seamus.
All right. Okay, folks, we're gonna
entertain you today.
We'll leave our mics on because you may be laughing at them. Okay.
That's okay. Yes. Leave the mics on. Here we go.
Went to the doctor. Says, doctor, it's awful. It's terrible. And the doctor says, what's the problem? And Murphy says, no matter where I touch myself, here or here or here or here, it's excruciatingly painful. It's sheer agony. And the doctor examined him from head to foot and said, Murphy, I found your problem. He says, what is it? He said, your finger's broken. Murphy and O'Brien in a pub as usual. Murphy's feeling kind of down. O'Brien says, what's the problem? Murphy said, I'm going on vacation to Spain next week and I don't know how I'll communicate. I don't speak the language. O'Brien said, it's very easy. When you get to Spain, just speak slowly. They'll understand everything. So Murphy flies to Spain, checks into the hotel, goes down into the lounge bar, sitting at a table, and the waiter came over. Murphy said, I'd like a beer, please. And the waiter went away and got it, brought it back. Murphy said, thank you. And the waiter said, you're welcome. Where are you from? Murphy said, I'm from Ireland. And the waiter said, really? I'm from Ireland too. Murphy said, then why are we speaking Spanish? You were getting ahead of me there, weren't you? Murphy and O'Brien out in the woods, they come to a clearing and they see an abandoned well. And Murphy said, I wonder how deep that well is. O'Brien said, there's one way we can figure it out. Murphy says, what's that? He said, you drop something down it, you time how long it takes to hit the bottom, you multiply that by 32 feet per second squared, the rate at which objects fall in a vacuum, subtract a little for wind resistance, we've got the depth of the well. Murphy says, what are you going to drop down it? And O'Brien looked all around and he saw this big heavy log lying on the ground. He squats down beside the log and using his legs correctly, he gets it up onto his shoulders and he staggers over to the edge of the well, tips it up, drops the log down, and they start to count. One hippopotamus, two hippopotamus, three hippopotamus, splash. Murphy said, 3 seconds. O'Brien said, quick, multiply that by 32 feet per second squared. 288 feet. Subtract a little for wind resistance. Let's say 18 feet. The depth of that well is 270 feet. Just then Murphy shouts, look out! And he pushed O'Brien backwards, and a goat ran between them and jumped head first down the well. Murphy says, my God, I've never seen anything like that. Just then a farmer walks into the clearing. He said, what's going on here, boys? O'Brien says, we just figured out the depth of this well. We figure it's about 270 feet deep, and the strangest thing happened. A goat ran between the two of us and jumped head first down the well. The farmer said, thank heavens it wasn't one of my goats. Murphy says, how do you know it wasn't? He said, all my goats are tethered to big heavy logs. Murphy and O'Brien out in the woods deer hunting. They shoot a deer. They're dragging it back to their pickup truck, but they're pulling it by the back legs, so the antlers are getting caught in the bushes and the undergrowth, and it's taking them forever. The guy comes out from behind a tree. He said, you know, boys, it's a lot easier if you pull that deer by the head. That way the antlers won't get caught in the bushes. It's a lot faster. So they start to pull the deer by the head. Sure enough, it's much easier. O'Brien turns to Murphy. He said, that guy was right. This is a hell of a lot quicker. Murphy said, yeah, but we're getting farther away from the truck. Then they decided to go bear hunting. Came to a fork in the road, said bear left, so they went home. They decided to go ice fishing. Get out on the ice and they drill a hole, just about to drop their lines in and start fishing. And this disembodied voice rings out, there are no fish beneath the ice. That scares them. So they move a bit further away. They drill another hole, just about to drop their lines in. They hear it again. There are no fish beneath the ice. They're getting really scared now. Move even farther away. Drill another hole, just about to start fishing once more, and they hear it again. There are no fish beneath the ice. Murphy looks up, said, is that you, Lord? And the voice said, no, I'm the rink announcer. Yeah, then they decide to go fishing in a boat on a lake. They're out there. They feel a bump against the side of the boat, and they look over, and there's a bottle floating in the water. So they lift the bottle into the boat, and they pull the cork out. A genie pops out and said, I can grant you one wish. O'Brien doesn't hesitate. He says, one wish. I wish this whole lake was Guinness. The genie said, "You've got it, Shazam. The whole leg is Guinness." Murphy slaps O'Brien upside the head. He said, "You idiot." O'Brien says, "What?" Murphy says, "Now we have to pee in the boat."
All right, we're going to bring it back here, folks. I have to admit, you know why Irish jokes are so simple?
It's all in the delivery.
Well, no, so the English can understand. That's why the Irish jokes are so simple. Hey, folks, this is Home Sweet Home, and we're having an entertaining show today about good old St. Paddy's Day. We're excited to do it. Patrick and I have some long roots and ancestry, both in Ireland and Scotland.
Tell me a little bit about your roots.
Well, my roots come from on my mother's side is Irish. It's pretty much the dominant percentage, as I would like to say. I think we're kind of a European mutt, though. We've got a lot of English, primarily Irish, English, and then I believe we've got a mixed bag after that. I think we are a little Scot and other things. My brother did an ancestry test, and he kind of laid it out. And he says, no, he kind of dismissed it as it's what we always thought it was. But he did break it down a little bit for me. But as far as family is concerned, I had a great-grandfather who was kind of run out of Ireland on a boat. And we have his shillelagh somewhere. So if my brothers are listening, wherever Grandpa's shillelagh is, I'd like to see it, guys, because it was probably the only thing he made it out of town with. He was kind of run out of town because he was a Protestant preacher, is the way the story's told, trying to do some conversions of our Catholic brothers and sisters, and it wasn't going well.
You know,
it's not for lack of trying, is my suspicion.
That's it. I mean, he was doing his missionary work.
That's right. He was doing his missionary work. But that's pretty much the side. Although the derivative, and you saw it, the way my last name is spelled, while it's the English version spelling of it, but if you go to Ireland, you see the way my last name is spelled all over Ireland. So if you think about the Irish and you look at the history back there, boy, there was something going on all the time. And, of course, the migration of Irish to the U.S. was because of famines and all kinds of bad politics. And you could go into that history, and there's an enormous amount of it available to folks to do some research on it and look at it, because it was the immigration crisis of the 1800s and 1900s. It was like today's immigration crisis. We talk about it all the time. I hate to say it, but it was my ancestors that were battling to get into the U.S. to get out of the plights they were in.
Yeah.
And, not that I don't think we absolutely needed immigration reform. I'll be the first one to admit that. But the country is made up of immigrants. I mean, we all know that.
Yeah.
And there's a smart way to go about this, and somehow we just can't seem to get our heads around how to do this thing.
It's been going on for generations. Now, I did a quick search on your name, your last name.
Ah.
And, of course, everyone thinks Bailey, but it's not spelt that way. Bailey's Irish cream.
That's right.
And if that were the case, you wouldn't be sitting here with me. You'd be, high in...
Yeah,
high on your money, sitting on a beach somewhere, and
that's right.
That'd be it. But
that's right.
I did like your surname's derivative of what it stood for, and I don't know if you know this or not.
I do.
So a bailiff or an officer of the law,
right? And or a manager or an administrator.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think that suits you very well.
I think that's kind of across the board. Although I would suggest to you, we have our criminal element within that name.
Hey, don't muddy the
name. Don't muddy the water.
I'm trying to offer you a compliment.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I actually looked into that back probably 25, 30 years ago and did one of those. I actually saw it in I think it was over at the Bethlehem Chris Kindle Mart. Mm-hmm. Where they had one of the vendors was there, and he had done all the research. And
the big computer. Selling the plaques or the scroll of your name.
And I was shocked to see my name in the spelling that I typically use, which is, the last name is B-A-I-L-E-Y. And when I saw B-A-Y-L-Y, I got to buy it.
Of course.
Of course you got to buy it. And I'm looking at and talking it over with the person like they're an expert. And I realized about 30 seconds in the conversation, I said, oh, he's just grabbing it from somebody else. He doesn't know anything. He's not an expert.
Yeah. I got suckered into those two.
Oh yeah. But I get a kick out. A lot of times we've gone further into that. We have some very Irish ancestry on my mother's side, and then dad. I didn't see it where it broke out of the Bailey, but there was the Hams and the Rainies and the Baileys, and I mean, there's all kinds of names that just drive back there. So we are, my understanding, according to my brother's final test, is that we're in there pretty big and deep. So we celebrate accordingly. We're going to take a break, folks. This is Home Sweet Home. You won't be hearing any more about my ancestry, I promise.
You'll hear about mine.
You'll hear about Pat's. But stand by for a quick commercial from our sponsors. Thank you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Sing I'm Comish's Liedle, and it's called The Sick Note, or Why Paddy's Not at Work Today.
See, this is a really good one. I know you've
seems
heard
like
this.
A good few people heard this one before. Amazingly, there might be somebody who didn't, so for their benefit, I'd better explain that this song is all about a man called Paddy, who had an unfall off in a Baustelle where he was working, and indeed some accident, he's very badly verletzt. And vague in the injuries, he cannot go to work am anderen Tag. So he writes eine Entschuldigung to his Arbeitgeber in dem er erklärt den Grund for his Abwesenheit at work. And that's what the song is all about.
I wonder if our listeners even understood.
I have no idea what he said.
I got it, but it was like, I'm not sure our listeners got it.
A bit of
just keep listening, folks. You'll understand.
The letter begins, dear sir, like this. Dear sir, I write this note to you to tell you of me plight. And at the time of writing, I am not a pretty sight. Me body is all black and blue, me face deathly grey. And I write this note to say why Paddy's not at work today. While working on the 14th floor, some bricks I had to clear. Now to throw them down from such a height, it was not a good idea. The foreman wasn't very pleased, he being an awkward sod. He said I'd have to take them down the ladders in me hod. Now clearing all these bricks by hand, it was so very slow. So I hoisted up a barrel and secured the rope below. But in me haste to do the job, I was too blind to see that a barrel full of building bricks was heavier than me. So when I untied the rope, the barrel fell like lead. And clinging tightly to the rope, I started up instead. Well, I shot up like a rocket, till to my dismay I found that halfway up I met the bloody barrel coming down. Well, the barrel broke me shoulder as to the ground it sped. And when I reached the top, I banged the pulley with me head. Well, I clung on tight, though numbed with shock from this almighty blow. And the barrel spilled out half the bricks 14 floors below. Now, when these bricks had fallen from the barrel to the floor, I then outweighed the barrel and so started down once more. Still clinging tightly to the rope, I sped towards the ground, and I landed on the broken bricks that were all scattered round. Woo! I lay there groaning on the ground. I thought I'd passed the worst. When the barrel hit the pulley wheel and then the bottom burst. Well, a shower of bricks ran down on me. I hadn't got a hope. As I lay there moaning on the ground, I let go the bloody rope. The barrel then being heavier, it started down once more and landed right across me as I lay upon the floor. Well, it broke 3 ribs and my left arm, and I can only say that I hope you understand why Paddy's not at work today.
And Paddy is not at work today. He is sitting right in front of me.
Oh, boy. That would be workers' comp right there, man.
Right? That's right. That's right. You know, Patty, why you know, as they call it Patty, or Patty, but it's Patty.
Patty, yeah.
Why is it that whenever an Irishman asks a question, he answers with another question? And, of course, the answer is, who told you that? Right? Exactly. You heard the one about the IRA man that shows up at the pearly gates, St. Peter, comes out to greet him. St. Peter takes a look at him and says, I don't think you can get in. The IRA man says, who wants in? You've got 20 minutes to get out. All right. I'm not going to crack jokes. I'm not that good at it, folks. And we got some good shows here. But we're going to talk a little more about Ireland. Tell us about your background. Tell us where you're coming from, man.
Well, you know, honestly, I know very little about the Irish side of my family, although I'm very proud that I am considered a quarter Irish and a quarter Scottish and half French Canadian.
You do realize that these are just borders. You're really technically all of that. And we're all of that, all of us.
But my grandfather, my dad's dad, was pure Scot.
Oh.
And he married an Irish woman.
Ooh.
With the last name Fitzpatrick.
Sounds like a booby.
So that's part of the reason why my name is Patrick.
Oh, nice.
And the other part of the reason is also because my surrogate grandmother, the one I've always known, because my grandfather remarried, her name is Patricia. So, and she was the one responsible for getting my mom and dad together on a blind date.
Nice.
So that's the Patrick part of me. Gregory is obviously the Scottish part, which I know a lot more about that part of my history. I could speak a little bit about, you know, the Irish influence in our family, and I have to do a shout out to my uncle Brian, in Toronto. His birthday is on St. Paddy's Day.
Hey, happy birthday, Uncle.
Happy birthday. And I know he celebrates very fondly. Nice. down in Florida, where he is right now as a snowbird, with his lovely wife, my aunt, Aunt Sharon.
Nice.
Her last name is McEntee.
Ah.
Very Irish.
Sure.
And Father McEntee would be her uncle. Now, Father McEntee, I knew. He's passed away, God rest his soul, but he was a twin. So his brother, Frank, were both living in Montreal, and Father McEntee had his own parish that we used to go frequent once in a while. He wasn't our parish priest, but he was just down the street, and he was kind of very much loved by the Gregory side of the family because of the relationship with my aunt.
Right.
And he was voted Irishman of the Year in Montreal.
Nice.
And
very nice.
I believe, I don't know if he was also the marshal or not, but he walked in that parade and he was as proud as can be and, you know, got every one of those perks and benefits. And he was well into his 70s
when he got that honor, and he was just beaming from it.
You know what I find very interesting is that the Irish are, for no lack of a better word, do enjoy the. I mean, they are very much a prideful people, and I don't mean that with any disrespect to any other culture. It's just that their loyalty and their commitments as a young boy growing up was relevant, and of course it was. It was built around integrity. I mean, the attempt was always the attempt was an integrity leveled pride that was, you know, you are what you say you are, and you do what you say you do. Has been my upbringing, and if you make mistakes, you know, you need to straighten those things out. And it's pretty interesting because when I was growing up, you know, St. Paddy's Day was certainly a perfect holiday for us to get together. It wasn't a dominant holiday, but it wasn't in the community because we had an eclectic group in my little hometown. In fact, we had two Catholic churches in this little town of probably 4,000 people.
Wow!
We had the German Catholic Church and we had the Irish Catholic Church, and they didn't mix.
You're close to the Amish area.
Actually, we were north of that. We were north of that.
Oh, okay,
and then we had all the other. You know, church types and, you know, domains, and you had the Episcopal Church, and we had a little Jewish synagogue. I mean, we had enough of a cross, and it was really interesting. It was a happening town. And I had friends in both churches, and we all, believe it or not, it was a big social setting going to the churches. Mm-hmm. So, but of course, you know, as a non-Catholic, it was like, you can't go there. You can't go to the Catholic Church.
It's funny how that happened.
And it's interesting how I ended up going. Just by that determination, you can't go. Yeah. My buddy said, yeah, I'll get you in. Let's go. And it was turning out to be really fun to go to each other's little churches. And actually, it was Sunday schools and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of fun. And it was interesting when they merged the two churches. They said, you know, we're not gonna segregate on culture. Come on, get out. Right. And
it's
of course,
God.
I'll tell you, it was a generational shift. You know, the young people thought it was great because the Germans had a big, beautiful church that was half empty, and the Irish had this little church that was overflowing. Yeah. You know, so
and now they had two cool holidays. You know,
oh yeah, they
St.
had
Paddy's Day and Oktoberfest.
That's right, they did.
And
they
it
did.
All revolves around alcohol.
That's so. Right, and it's really interesting how that healed. And it wasn't even a case of much of a fissure. It was just kind of a tradition. You went there, I went here. It doesn't mean we didn't get along well. There was no real fights. It was just the way they were laid out. You know, the German enclave that came into that area said, we're going to build our own church. And, of course, they did speak German and Latin. Right. And then the Irish church was Latin. It wasn't English. It was pure Latin. Mm. So at least when I was growing up. So it just goes to show how far we've come as far as, hey, you know, maybe there's some walls we ought to kind of break down here because, they're probably pretty silly. And secondly, why we can respect those cultures even more. We can go back and reach back and say, hey, this is what it was. So anyway, back to our show here at Home Sweet Home, folks. You know something? I dug a little digging into it just to kind of give us, you know, some rationale for having our celebratory show and also some Home Sweet Home thoughts. The materials and methods back in Ireland that they built buildings with was pretty traditional stuff. I mean, they didn't have the trees that we have and the wood heavy forest, although they had a lot of that. But their focus was primarily on thatch roofs and mud huts. And frankly, it was a poor country for a long time.
Yeah.
Of course, we all know the politics back there, or at least many of us do. Ireland was kind of a stepchild to England, and that history is well known. But what's interesting is if you look at Ireland in the most contemporary sense now, they have gone through a boom-bust cycle. I mean, they really have gone. I know during the early 90s, they were really quite the contemporary, educational, high-tech, up-and-coming country in Europe. And, of course, what happened is we had the bubble burst, the dot-com bubble burst,
right.
And it practically brought Ireland to its knees. But the Irish don't go to their knees easy.
You know,
they really don't. They just said, okay, we regroup. And they're back again as a very dominant force in European politics. And they are they don't go away quietly, which I've always been kind of proud of having that lineage, you know. But it's kind of interesting. And you look at how it is. I've had family members go over to Ireland. I haven't been there.
Me neither.
And I'm really, excited to go there someday. My son's been there. Mm-hmm. There's been other family members that have gone, and we're out of County Cork, is my, I'm told. At
okay.
least that's my lineage is out of County Cork. So that's always been kind of, you know, you got to get there. So I got that's my bucket list. That's up near the top of my bucket list. So I got
to
get over there.
Yeah, April's getting to that age now where we're going to have to do that soon before she leaves the nest.
Right. Got to get over
does
there.
Does it by herself.
That's
know?
Right. That's right.
Hey, we're going to finish this little segment with a little bit more of Seamus Kennedy. Got some more jokes for you. What do you think?
Oh, I love it. That's what St. Paddy's Day is all about.
All right, and here we go.
Every year on St. Patrick's Day, St. Patrick comes down out of heaven and goes to an Irish pub somewhere in the world. This past St. Patrick's Day, he went to Murphy's local pub. So Murphy walks in. There's St. Patrick sitting over in the corner with a big green bishop's mitre on his head and the green robes and the crozier staff and all the snakes around his feet. Murphy says to the bartender, he says, is that St. Patrick sitting there in the corner? And the bartender says, yeah, he's just down for the day. Murphy said, well, I'd like to buy him a drink. And the bartender says, he'll have a pint of Guinness. So he sends one over. O'Brien walks in, said to the bartender, is that St. Patrick sitting there in the corner with a big green hat on him? And the bartender says, yeah, he's just down for the day. O'Brien said, I'd like to buy him a drink. Says he'll have a pint of Guinness. So O'Brien sends one over. Casey walks in. He said, is that the patron saint of Ireland himself sitting over there, St. Patrick? And the bartender says, yep, just down for the day. If you want to buy him a drink, he'll have a pint of Guinness. So Casey sends one over. Well, St. Patrick downs the three pints, and he's on his way home. He's leaving the pub, and he walks over to Casey, and he puts his hand on his shoulder, and he said, thanks very much for the pint. That was very generous of you. And Casey says, well, my arthritis, I was crippled with it for years. I'm cured. Thank you, St. Patrick. And he walks over to O'Brien, and he puts his hand on his head. He said, thanks very much for the pint. Very decent of you. O'Brien says, well, my migraine headaches, had them for years, they're gone. Thank you, St. Patrick. And he walks over to Murphy, and Murphy says, don't touch me, I'm on disability. Murphy and O'Brien had a skinful to drink on St. Patrick's Day. And they're driving home in the car, and they decide to open a couple of bottles of Guinness. So they're drinking these two bottles and driving home. All of a sudden, they look in the rearview mirror. There's the old red and blue flashing lights on behind them. O'Brien says, it's the cops. What are we going to do? Murphy says, don't panic. Peel the label off the bottle of Guinness and stick it on your forehead. O'Brien says, what? He says, peel the label off the bottle of Guinness, stick it on your forehead. So they peel the labels off, slap them right on the foreheads. The cop pulls them over, walks up to the window. Murphy rolls the window down. The policeman looks in and said, have you gentlemen been drinking? Murphy says, no, not us, officer. Look, we are on the patch. You know, one of the things that we have in Ireland that's slightly different from what you do here in the United States, you know, when people come out to a bar and have a few drinks, you have a designated driver to help get them home. In Ireland, we have something similar, but not quite exactly the same. And I'll illustrate. Just outside of Galway, there's a place called Salt Hill. There's a great pub called Teddy O'Connor's. Now, Teddy O'Connor's got in trouble with the law last year for serving drinks after hours. And just like here in the United States, it's illegal. So the police were clamping down on it. Two policemen and an unmarked car sitting across the street from O'Connor's pub. Now, the pubs in Ireland close at 11:30. So at 11:30, the pub doors open, the lights go on, everybody appears to leave and go home. But the cops aren't fooled. They sit and they wait and they watch. Sure enough, about 3 o'clock in the morning, the pub doors open, a head pokes out, Murphy. Looks up and down the street each way, comes out of the pub, staggers across the street to his car, fumbles with a lock, gets into the car, starts it up and takes off out of town. Well, the policemen take off after him. After about 30 minutes, they finally pull him over and they get him out and they run all the sobriety tests on him, standing in one foot, closing his eyes, touching his nose, saying his ABCs backwards. And he aces every one of them, passed every one with flying colours. The policeman looked at him and said, you're not drunk. Murphy says, no, I am the designated decoy.
All right, folks, we're back. And we actually, we are at a point here where we got to take a break, do we? Yes,
yeah,
we do.
Yeah,
Let's give a hear to our sponsors, and we'll be back to wrap up our show on St. Paddy's Day.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
This is a fun song. This is the one where they clap in the middle of it?
Now I want to get on a plane and go to Ireland.
To frequent, I told the landlady me money was spent.
Let it roll, or
bring it down. Tell us about your. Tell us about a little more about your past.
So,
you work now. You grew up in Montreal.
Yep.
Now, were you in an Irish community? Would it been known that or not necessarily?
No. I wasn't really in an Irish community per se.
Okay.
And I don't even know. You know, other than Father McEntee and the fact that my uncle was born on St. Paddy's Day, but my grandfather was also, but he was a pure Scotsman.
Wow!
So he would wear this big pin button on his chest
right.
That day, saying "I'm Irish on my birthday" or something like that.
Yeah,
was
yeah.
It, or was it "Kiss me, I'm Irish"?
Yeah,
and. I don't know. He was a very stern type of personality.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess
there is that side of the
I was young
Irish
and maybe that intimidated
culture.
Me a little bit, but I feel that he had this playful side of him, and he wore that button on purpose because he was pure Scot, and he was wearing what he was born on St. Paddy's Day, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I had a very embarrassing situation happen to me when I was when I was younger. Our parish, so I'm Catholic by birth, and our parish was very, very social.
Nice.
It was the community place. My father knew everyone there.
Yeah.
You know, the mass took an hour, and we were there for another hour afterwards for coffee and talking there and all that stuff. Right.
Right.
So someone decided they wanted to participate in the Montreal Irish Parade
right.
One year. So right. We built a float for the parish.
Nice.
And it took many months, I mean, and lots of effort to do that. But the idea behind it was that we were putting a big cauldron on the float, and it was going to be heated up underneath.
Right.
And we were warming up Irish stew. And what we were going to do is distribute little samples of Irish stew in a little styrofoam cup with a spoon,
right,
to the masses as we were driving. As we were,
how about that?
Doing the 3 mile parade, wow. We would go out into the parade route and to the spectators and give them Irish stew because it's cold.
Yeah,
Montreal, it's freezing still up there. Yeah. There's snow on the ground and people are standing out there watching this parade go by. And
nice.
Imagine about bagpipers with no underwear underneath their kilts. You know?
No, that's not going to work.
That's a predicament. So
yeah, that's not going to work.
How do you distribute? You know, and we're talking, Steve, I'm going to tell
that's
you.
That's creative.
There was probably 75 to 100 gallons worth of stew. And they bought, you know, the huge, big cans. And
sure.
They undid the can, opened the cans, and poured it in. I don't know how many gallons, but it was huge, okay?
Wow.
So they need people to distribute this stuff, right?
Sure.
Guess who's the...
You are.
On the hook for doing that.
You're doing this.
So they round up all the altar servers in you know, it's that
sure.
whole community of people that
we call them acolytes in my church. Acolytes. I don't know where that name came from, but there it is.
So there's a bunch of us. We all know each other, and we're all in our, like, early teens, you know, tweens. I'm like 11 or 12 years old.
Right.
They make us dress up in this leprechaun costume with a hat and the green outfit. And to add misery to the whole thing, I had to wear tights, green
Ooh.
Tights. And then they took cross-country ski boots. You know those country skis?
Yeah,
They're leather, and they're kind of floppy looking. Like
absolutely.
They look like clown's feet, basically.
Absolutely.
Pop us on, you know, they painted those things, spray painted them green,
yep.
And put rosy cheeks on us, and we end up being the friggin' leprechauns that were walking along the parade route beside the float.
Handing out stew.
They'd pass down these little containers of stew, and we'd go out in the crowd and feed these people. We must have fed... if not 2,000, 3,000 people down the aisle, okay?
Remarkable.
We had enough at the end to basically go to one of those homeless shelters and donate...
the rest of it.
A heck of a lot.
Wow.
Yeah. So I speak of it like with fond memories, but at the time, being an 11-year-old wearing what I was wearing, I did not... and I was certainly very embarrassed about it. But
well, you know, it's those childhood memories that really stick with us because, yeah, at the time, you couldn't have been more traumatized by, I can't believe they're making me do this, right down to, wow, I look back at it now as just, that was such a great experience, and that was so much fun.
It was the only time I was in the parade.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, like, and I can say I've been in the Montreal parade, which is a pretty big one.
Yeah,
you know?
I can imagine. No doubt about it. Well, you know, there's, you know, we always had an Irish parade, and it was pretty cold in our hometown, but it's certainly not like it was up in Montreal. But it was usually quite a gathering. I mean, it was the fire companies would come out and drape their trucks in green.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it was a big deal, and it always ended up in every pub and watering hole. At the end of the parade, and they were packed. I mean, it was just an excuse to get out and be social and be with your neighbors. And it was definitely one of the most disarming holidays that there could be out there. And I think that's just one of the best things about the Irish is we're a disarming bunch, as they say. So anyway, we've got a couple of interesting jokes here that might be worth talking about. I mean...
You've
heard about, you know what the definition of an Irish husband is. He's a man who hasn't kissed his wife in 20 years, but he'll kill any man who does. You know, I mean, let's face it, right? That's these guys. That's what they do, you know. And of course, you know, the proverbial. What was that one? It says, let me see. We've got.
It's no good if you have to read it out.
No, I'm not going to read it. They're reminders. Actually, I had to read some of these to think of as reminders. I guess I don't have any more here. That's the best I got, bud. So, folks, you know, we're getting to the end of our show. We've kind of fooled around here. Let's be honest. We've toasted St. Paddy's Day. We've had some great music, some wonderful comedians talk, and we're really what we're our story's all about. Home Sweet Home is all about home, certainly talking about all those things that Patrick and I do professionally, but it's being with family. It's enjoying the holidays. Frankly, there's probably far too few holidays like St. Paddy's Day, where we go out and we get to know our neighbors and to share a lot of good times and good feelings towards family and friends. So do it. Tomorrow's St. Paddy's Day. It's Saturday. You're not working. No, it's Sunday.
It's always Sunday. Sunday. Yeah, it's Sunday this year.
It's Sunday this year.
Yeah, but that's okay.
You can do it. You can
start
tomorrow.
We have the whole weekend, the party.
Got the whole weekend.
It starts tonight, really.
That's right. It does start tonight. and to that end, you know, go have some fun. Please do not drink and drive. Get a designated driver or be home and always be safe about that.
Yes, and we must say that we didn't drink. We drank a bit. This is still half full.
No.
I'd love to drink.
That was
it right
just
now.
Colored water for anybody from the FCC. Anybody from the FCC that might be watching us.
FCC? Are we?
I don't think so. Maybe the FAA's got jurisdiction. No, they fly planes. Never mind. We're okay.
I think they're worried about the Boeings right now.
Yeah. Right. Well, there is just another joke that popped up. My brother said to this man one time. He says, you know what an Irishman is? You know an Irishman that controls his wife? And I said, what's an Irishman that controls his wife? He's a murder suspect.
That's bad.
My brother Dave told me that one. So anyway. So we got some Irish blood here, folks. We hope you have some. And if you don't, adopt it. It's always a good thing.
Well, everyone's Irish.
Everybody's Irish on St. Paddy's Day.
So happy St. Paddy's Day, everybody.
Yep. We'll see you soon. See you next week.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
In New Zealand, police identifying a suspect now in the terror attack that left 49 people dead and dozens more injured at mosques in Christchurch. Police arresting three armed suspects in one attack, and they have charged Australian Brenton Tarrant, who live-streamed his shooting spree at one of those mosques on a helmet camera. Back here in the States, National Security Advisor John Bolton says,
we're obviously greatly disturbed by this, what seems to be a terror attack, this hate crime in New Zealand. We're very concerned. We're going to cooperate with the New Zealand authorities to the extent we can.
Tarrant being called an extremist right-wing terrorist who wrote a 70-page anti-immigrant manifesto before carrying out the attack. Then you're listening to USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule.
I was singing in the shower, singing El Solo Mio. Oh, Solo Mio. As I was singing Mio, I sneezed. So I'm drying up, you know, and I sneeze again. And I blow my nose. A whole bunch of stuff comes out. I'm suddenly realizing that I am breathing out of my nose the best I've ever breathed out of my nose in years. I don't think it's a coincidence that all of a sudden now I'm breathing. What has happened in the past year? I'm a balance of ages. You know, little by little every day, if I experience it, I'm happy. I'm sure this has to do with the balance of nature. I'm sure it does.
When you call, use discount code USA, and we'll take 20% off any first preferred order of Balance of Nature and have it shipped to you free. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
President Trump walked away from that summit with leader Kim Jong-un without making a deal with North Korea. And now a senior North Korean official says the U.S. threw away quite an opportunity. But U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says that Hanoi summit was not a total failure.
I think we made real progress, even in Hanoi, even a place where we didn't reach the final resolution of what we've been asking for all along. We didn't get an agreement for the full and final denuclearization in a verified way.
Pompeo was speaking on Fox and Friends this morning. The Connecticut Supreme Court ruling that a gun maker can be sued over how it marketed the type of rifle used in the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre. Justice is issuing a 4-3 decision yesterday overturning a lower court ruling that the lawsuit was prohibited. A nasty late winter storm hammering Colorado with snow and hurricane-force winds now moving on into the center of the country with heavy rains, flooding, and tornadoes. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Vice President Mike Pence has